Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest,
comedian Christopher Titus and San Diego alt band Bad and the Ugly.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Indeed.
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, you know.
Yeah, it's not quite time yet, is it, for good morning and how are you? We've got a lot of guests on the show today. Not least of all, City Arts Manager Sean Poschel will be here to discuss the City Arts plan for the future.
Yeah, I'm excited to delve into that today. And Christopher Titus is known for his dark comedy and his show Titus on Fox. Mm. We'll turn our FCC filter on later. Yeah, and he'll call in.
Good, and we got a lot of news for you, including marijuana, everybody. So enjoy. It's Daily Scramble Live.
On KX93.5, your Daily Scramble News now.
Okay, let's start locally here in Laguna Beach and then look further afield. First up, thanks to the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom. Laguna Beach City Council has decided to delay action on an earlier decision to prohibit medical marijuana delivery services and cultivation for retail sale within city limits. Council members listened to testimony on Tuesday evening from victims of cancer and other disorders, urging them to completely reverse the previously proposed ordinance. Instead, the council voted unanimously to add a sunset clause to the text, which places a hold on the local law awaiting the outcome of a decision in Sacramento. Governor Jerry Brown is expected next week to repeal the March 1st deadline included in Assembly Bill 21, which stipulated when cities were required to take action to regulate commercial cultivation and delivery of medical marijuana. Councilmember Tony Eisman suggested new rules should set qualifications for delivery services. She said someone in the room called deliveries Dubber, which I think is very clever, a combination of Doobie and Uber, the ride-sharing service. Eisman says controlling delivery services will create safety for customers and impose restrictions on the providers. So what did that last part have to do with the story?
Well, the whole thing sounds like a stoner wrote it, doesn't it? The whole thing's like, hey, let's delay a decision on a previously organized. Let's not do it yet.
So the news story is...
Dude. I don't know.
Nothing's happened.
No, nothing's really happened. But and if they're looking for puns, they should come to us because that's a terrible pun.
Yeah, it's not a very good pun.
Rubbish.
Yeah, I'm upset the council liked that pun.
Yeah.
They should listen to us more. wait, I'm confused.
Right.
There's a such thing as delivery of marijuana?
Of course, yeah.
Like, from whom to whom? Well, like, you call them and they bring it to you?
They bring it to you.
And that's legal here? Notice I don't smoke a lot of pot.
Right, it's not legal apparently, and I have no idea about this either, but apparently it's not legal in town, but if people can make it, they can deliver it. I got Amazon Now the other night. They brought me potato chips. At 10 o'clock at night.
You know, you should sign up for Amazon Smile when you're ordering your marijuana, and some of the portion will go to us.
Right. Amazon Smirk.
You do use Amazon Smile, right?
Of course I do, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Amazon.smile.com or
yeah,
something,
yeah,
right?
Smile.amazon.
Smile.amazon.com, and then they some of the money goes towards the radio station.
Yeah, we that's end up talking about that a lot, but we really only get like 0.25% of
purchases.
Well,
that's because you and I, neither of us smoke marijuana, so it's like we don't really care.
Yeah, but I'm interested.
For people that genuinely need medical marijuana, then it's a thing. Especially, you know, if you're a cancer patient, you can't get out of the house.
Right.
It's difficult. You want your drug. I mean, my pharmacy delivers my drugs in the mail for my various ailments.
All right, yeah.
You know?
I'm not against this. I was just surprised that it existed. I never even considered the fact that marijuana could be delivered.
Yeah.
I thought you'd meet up in a back alley somewhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Parking lot.
Yeah.
No, but anyway, so they've delayed a decision about blah. They're sort of fudging it because it's still a bit of a hot button issue for some people.
Alrighty then. We'll look at some more local stories later on, including this Return of Kings thing that you've been hearing about. But for now, we'll look at a quick story internationally. Syria's government and the opposition have blamed each other for the suspension of peace talks in Geneva. UN envoy Stefan de Mistura. Called the temporary pause, saying the talks would resume on 25th of February, But the Opposition High Negotiations Committee, or HNC, said they would not return until conditions improved on the ground, accusing government forces of bombing and starving civilians. The government said the opposition caused the suspension, acting on the orders of Turkey and Gulf states. More than 250,000 people have died in almost 5 years of war in Syria. 11 million others have fled their homes as forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad and those opposed to his rule battle each other, as well as the Islamic State group. The civil war has also been a major driving force behind Europe's migration crisis.
Yeah, it's going to go on for a while, isn't it? Back and forth. No, you're in charge. No, you did it. No, you did it. No, you did it. And it's funny how you always find that each side in these conflicts, and even in America today, even in politics, the other side want to destroy the country, you know. Like the other side want to destroy America. If you're a Democrat, the Republicans want to destroy America. And if you're a Republican, the opposite's true. I don't think anybody wants to destroy America. Just have different ideas about what's right and what's wrong, and that's true in Syria too. But it's, you know, obviously we're not suffering from dead children on the streets like they are there. It's horrible, really.
Yeah.
I have a good story, international story, if you'd like it. If you're in Cologne today...
Cologne, Germany?
Cologne, Germany, which you're not.
Nope. Well, you could be.
But if you were...
Yeah.
Then it's Cologne's carnival starts today.
Okay.
And that's great, but if you are at work today in Cologne, you don't want to wear your best tie.
Come on.
Because it's traditional on the first day of the festival, it's Women's Day, which celebrates women's rights in Cologne.
Mm-hmm.
And in light of the various molestation cases that came up on New Year's Eve in Cologne, that was a big story.
Right.
400 cases of molestation, accusations anyway, of molestation on New Year's Eve in Cologne. It's Women's Day, and what happens on Women's Day is that women get to run up to city officials and anybody they like who's wearing a tie, chop off the tie with a pair of scissors, in exchange for a kiss.
Ah, it's a nice deal.
Yeah.
I went to a steakhouse once as a kid that chopped off your tie when you came in. Is it the same thing? There's a steakhouse in Tucson. I'm not sure I remember what it was called. And you wore a cheap tie because when you got there, they chopped it off and hung it on the ceiling.
Are they making a point that, this isn't a place of business? This is a place to relax.
You know what? I'd never considered that, but I'm sure that is the metaphor.
Could be.
It's very, very smart, actually.
Yeah.
All right, that's some news for you today. Coming up, what are we going to do? Oh, I've got a rant. And I saw The Illusionists last night.
Oh, you did?
Awesome, I'll tell you about it. Here's Banta with Someday on KX93.5.
You think you... Daily Scramble Live.
Hard to believe that 2006 is old by now, but that's kind of an older song from Thief. Hold on, hold on, it's called. Hello, Jason Fetty.
10 years ago.
Right.
It's a decade.
Right.
Crikey.
I saw a really cool show last night at Sagerstrom, and they are not paying me to tell you this, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was The Illusionists, and we talked to the magician sort of leading it, Jeff Hobson, on the show a couple days ago, and it's the Avengers of Magic. It's seven guys all specializing in different magical fields, switching off on stage doing tricks. It was mind-blowing. It was fast-paced. It was funny. It was the most fun I've had at a show in a long time.
Really?
I loved it.
The Avenger, like, sort of superheroes.
Yeah, like the best magicians in each of their various
crafts.
They wear
capes.
One was.
Was it really? Underpants over the trousers?
Very much so. Ah. Yeah, yeah. But it was great. And Sagerstrom is doing an awesome job of combining kind of fun, family, artistic things with really serious, more, you know, classy affairs, too.
Oh, so, they're rocking it.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, which is why, one of the reasons why, we need to do some stuff in Laguna. And the city is trying to figure that out. So Sean Poch will be here today to tell us about what our cultural arts plan is. Because Costa Mesa's rocking it.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
They are. There was a guy with a crossbow who didn't, he shot a piece of paper sideways. So it just... You know what I mean?
He shot a piece of paper.
So a piece of paper held like this by another person.
Like this.
The arrow comes. I know I'm explaining it to you, but maybe you don't understand.
Tyler is holding his fingers up.
The arrow comes horizontally across the piece of paper. So it
oh, it shoots an arrow at a piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not the flat part of the paper. It's
the edge of it.
The edge. He shoots the edge of the paper and slices it right in half.
Yeah.
Okay. So he does that with a paper, a rose, and a lot of other stuff, balloon strings, and then he shoots an apple off his own head, blindfolded, by causing a ricochet of targets. That eventually shoots an apple off his own head.
It's easy to shoot an apple off your own head. Your own head's really close to
no,
you.
No, you shoot the apple. I can't explain this at all. It was great. And people should go. It's playing until Sunday. And I thought it was family friendly as well as edgy and fun at Sagerstrom Center for the Arts. Okay?
Yeah.
This weekend, we're broadcasting from a big game remote.
Mm.
Big Fish Tavern is doing a super game party. On Sunday.
Yeah, you can't say it. We're not allowed to say the name of the game because it's some sort of copyright thing. You yeah. know what we're talking about, though.
Hopefully you do. Panthers are playing the Broncos in a large sporting event. We're broadcasting live from 2 to 4. The game starts at 3:30. They've got domestic drafts for $4, wings or pork sliders for $14, and food and drink specials all day long. That's Big Fish Tavern close to downtown Laguna. We will be there. Broadcasting for the big game, and hopefully you can join us to watch the game out and about.
Because you know it's all about the snacks, right? It's about the sliders, it's about the pulled pork, it's about the wings, it's about the nachos.
For me, it's the commercials also.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. It's a funny thing, though. It's a very odd American thing, this. My friend Ray Weston, he's a drummer and he's British, and his wife's American, and he's planned to do something on Sunday. He'd forgotten about the old super bollock, so he's plan to do something with his wife on Sunday. Oh, by the way, we're going up to LA. And she said, we can't do anything on Sunday. It's the biggest sporting event of the year. She never watches sport.
Well, but that's the thing. Nobody misses it.
It's like she said, this is the biggest dentistry event of the year. It's like, so what?
Well, don't you have a gig at like the Spectrum?
I have a gig at the Spectrum.
Who would book you for that?
Persian people. And Asians. They're all going to be up there shopping.
So you're going to be at the Spectrum from 2 to 5.
Yeah.
Right during the big game.
Right during the big
just
game.
Just playing Green Lights.
Yeah.
Playing Beatles songs.
Don't you feel sorry for me?
Out yeah, in the sunshine. I do.
It's going to be 81 degrees over there.
No, but I really do. Did you consider the fact that you'd be missing the game by booking it?
I have a gig on Valentine's Day. I could care less.
It's $300.
Exactly.
As they say. Oh, that's very funny. So coming up later on, like Jason mentioned, Sean Poche will be here to talk about the community, the cultural arts draft. A very dark comedian that I think you'll like, Christopher Titus.
Yeah.
We'll call in at about 8:50. And a San Diego band called The Bad and the Ugly will be here as well. Cool?
Yeah, busy morning.
Here's Junior. Cacophony.
It's a nice name for a little girl, isn't it? What's the little girl's name? Cacophony. How sweet. What do you call her for short?
We did not plan that. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Wow, did you hear about this American tourist who went to Iceland?
Yep.
Okay. Well,
I did.
I'm going to tell you anyway. a tourist went to Iceland, and he went to the wrong part of Iceland. And now he's enjoying local fame because he went to the wrong part of Iceland.
The Icelandic people think this is funny. They're like the Germans. They're into that, what do they call that? Schadenfreude.
Oh, huh? Okay. Yep. Good. Noel Santillan, a 28-year-old from New Jersey,
yep,
went to Iceland by himself for some reason, typed in the wrong address into his rental car's GPS,
yep,
and took a 6-hour diversion to the fishing village of Siglufjord in the north of Iceland.
Well done.
His error was to type the word Lögfjord with an extra R instead of Lögfjordur, one of the main roads in the capital Reykjavik. I think I know how to say that city.
Yep.
Where he expected to find the Hotel Frón.
Yep.
So he drove some time in poor road conditions, yep, thinking something was amiss,
mm-hmm,
but plowed on regardless. He said he was very tired after the flight, wanted to get to the hotel as soon as possible. That's why he kept driving. And he did enjoy the scenery on the way. He said, I've never seen anything quite like it.
Right.
That's where the story ends.
He drove for 6 hours.
Not sure where his fame kicks in.
He continued on. Well, because they enjoy the Schadenfreude. They enjoy the make. That's German for making fun. Only the Germans would have a word like this, which is the word for making fun of other people's misery.
Okay.
Right? So it's one word which means that whole sentence. Schadenfreude. And they love all that stuff. So they're off. Everybody loves. You see, what you don't understand is that everybody loves a stupid American story. The world loves a stupid American story. So this is a stupid American story. Although he seems like a nice bloke, and he went off to Iceland, which is an interesting place to go.
Sure.
Right? And why would you go to Iceland? Well, a man would go there because there's three times as many women as men in Iceland. That's number one.
And they're three times as tall as he is.
Some dude from New Jersey, maybe not having too much luck over there.
Goes to Iceland.
Hey, how are you doing, Reykjavik? And anyway, he put the wrong, just one letter. He got one letter wrong in his GPS.
That's why I'm surprised the Icelandic folk don't have a little more sympathy for the guy. If they got one letter wrong and it took him 6 hours away.
Well, I'm sure they
got a little bit of understanding.
You know, yeah. I mean, what do you want him to do? Give you a cuddle,
if
Americans?
If you came here and you typed in Los Angeles.
This is so, that's so American of you. Well, you know, all I want is a cuddle. Just, you know, like me.
What if you typed in Los Angeles with a G, with a J instead
of
a J? You'd
go nowhere because there isn't a place called Los Angeles.
There might be. Would you still pursue on?
You know, I went to Utah once in a rental car. And I wasn't, but you're not supposed to go to Utah in a rental car. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, if you rent a car from most places, they'll let you go in California. They'll let you go anywhere in California. So you could go all the way up to the border of Oregon. Like, you could go all the way, miles up there.
Okay.
Many hundreds of miles. It's not a distance thing.
Okay.
It's certain states.
It's a state
thing. No. You can't go to Utah because it's there's a lot of uppy-downy hills, and people get lost, and they go off-roading, and they ruin cars.
Really?
Yeah, so...
Was this on one of your driving binges?
One of our trips. The wife and I liked to go on a trip.
Oh, so it wasn't one of your solo driving binges.
No. This was... Ava and I went off on a thing.
All right.
And we went off to Utah, and we knew that we were going to a state that was precluded from the deal. You're not supposed to go there.
Okay.
But we thought, well, it'll be all right. So we went, I rented this car, and it was a Jetta, Volkswagen Jetta, not a four-wheel drive car, right?
Certainly not.
So we went off, we went through parts of Arizona, and it was beautiful, you know, fantastic country. And then we went up to Utah, and I'm following the GPS the whole way because I don't know where I'm going. So I'm following the GPS, and then it says turn left and turn right. Now we're in the middle of nowhere. Now turn left. So now I realize that I'm not really on a paved road.
You're doing exactly what Hertz was afraid you would do.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I'm on this not paved road, but I can't. There's nowhere to turn around. It's pitch dark. And now I'm going up a hill. And I said to Ava, this cannot be right. She says, well, I don't know. So now we're going up a really steep hill. Anyway, cut a long story short, we wind up 10,000 feet up Mount Parker. There was nowhere to turn around.
In the middle of the night?
Ava's not used to these sort of, you know, driving things.
Yeah.
But at this point, I mean, she's driven a lot of miles since then. But at the time, so, and I could see, I'm hugging the side of this mountain.
Right.
In a Jetta. At like 45 degrees up a mountain, and I can see the tops of fir trees on my right. So I know if we go over the side of here, these are tall trees, and I can just see the tops of them in the headlight. We finally figured out that it was Mount Parker, and we were 10,000 feet up. We came down the other side, we go and stay at a place. The next morning, get in the car, and the entire undercarriage of the car, this whole plastic thing that's supposed to cover the car and save it from any danger, just fell off the car. And I said, you know, we've got to make it back to Arizona because we can't take this car back to Hertz now because we're in Utah and we're not insured. So the car just clunked its way back to Arizona, and then it clunked its way back to Laguna. I got back to Laguna here. The engine was steaming.
Wow.
It was just completely wrecked, this car. We'd wrecked it. I went into the place. It was Enterprise in the canyon.
Oh, in the canyon.
Yeah. I went in there and I said to the guy, well, here's the car, and we've wrecked it. And he comes out, and the car's covered in dust, and it's just wrecked. And there's a thing hanging on, and there's like emergency lights going, because every sensor was destroyed. in this car. And the guy takes a look at it, and he looks at the sheet of paper, and he says, well, you're covered. Give us the keys. Gave him the keys, walked away.
Because you bought the insurance?
I bought the full insurance.
Oh.
And he didn't know that this damage happened in Utah.
Right, well, of course. Unless you told him.
Right, which, of course, I didn't.
What a great story.
10,000 feet up Mount Parker.
Why did it take you that way?
You know, it's GPS. Who knows why? I mean, it took us hours and hours and hours. It was 2 o'clock in the morning by the time we got to our next hotel, which was supposed to be 30 miles away.
Utah is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It's unbelievably beautiful.
But in the dark, it's the same as anywhere else in the world.
Right, and certainly treacherous. Oh, man. I've got a lot of rental car stories, too, that we don't have time for right now. I'm banned from Hertz.
Cool.
Do you know that?
No.
I'll tell you about
it
another time.
High five.
Here's a new song from Blonde Fire. Our friends Blonde Fire and Erica released this new track just this week.
Daily Scramble Live.
The Clash there, generational alt-rock on our morning show, Daily Scramble Live. That's Jason Fetty.
Hello.
And I'm Tyler Fetty. Good morning.
Hello.
So I made a mistake yesterday.
Ooh. Crikey, alert the press.
I asked my girlfriend what her favorite color was.
Oh, dear. I've told you, do not engage. That's my advice, my relationship advice to Tyler.
All right. So the reason I asked is because my grandmother is about to meet her.
Okay.
Long story short, my dad won Tucson's Man of the Year.
Oh.
And I'm going home this weekend for his gala.
Crikey.
Cool, right?
Yeah.
So my grandparents will be there and my girlfriend will be there.
That's great.
He's a cool guy.
He's a good guy, yeah.
So my grandmother wants to make my girlfriend Stephanie a bracelet, okay? Mm. So ask me, what is Stephanie's favorite color? Well, I don't know. Of course I don't know. Why would I know?
So. It's an old thing, isn't it? A favorite color as well. I always think that's a bit
well,
to ask somebody.
I asked her.
What's your favorite color?
I texted her.
I don't know.
And I asked her what her favorite color was. And this was her response.
Yeah.
All caps. You don't know! Exclamation
you
point.
See?
Right?
Did
but,
it.
But,
done it.
But then I think it was a little bit sarcastic. But then she delves into what her favorite color is and says, I like red and green. I don't really like pink, but I like spring green. But I don't really wear much of either.
She's making fun of
me. I wear lots of blues, grays, and blacks.
Yeah.
Red if I feel feisty. And for jewelry, I like gold tones more recently rather than silver. I don't think she's being funny. I think this is a sincere answer.
No, she's making fun
of me. To favorite color.
No, I know your girlfriend. She's smarter than that.
And then I said, how am I supposed to know your favorite color if it's that complex? And she said...
she's playing with you like a cat with a mouse.
She said, all right, it's just red and green.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the extra information in case you ever try to buy me clothes or things, because if you buy me pale yellow or pink, I most likely won't wear it. The only pink I like is Circus Animal Cookie.
Yeah, she's making fun of you.
I'm red supposed to green. Memorize this?
They say red and green should never be seen.
Oh, I'd heard that. Her two favorite colors.
Not together, though. It's very Christmassy.
She mentions that she likes Christmas.
Just buy one of those dual packs of DayQuil and NyQuil. That's red and green.
If I were to ask you what your favorite color was.
I'd have no idea. It's a stupid question.
Right. I mean, I'd say, I don't know, blue. That's what I'd say.
Whatever. I don't know.
But is it that big of a deal?
No.
If she is being serious, if she's not making fun.
Favorite color for what? I like purple, but when it comes to omelets, no. Right?
So I sent this to my grandmother, and I said, here's what I got. You run with it.
And is that why you've got this like huge tome on your desk of relationships? Book. It's the size of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Trying to understand.
Oh, it's impossible, mate.
I'm trying to understand.
You're wasting your time.
Anyway, my grandmother says, no, I understand. That's fine. She found that an acceptable response, and we'll go with that
in
preparing this gift.
Mm.
I just don't know. Do not engage, I think, is good advice.
No, it's double the fun because she got, what's your favorite color? And she completely, like, she went for it. She saw the insanity of the question. She's great.
You're seeing it in a different way than
I think she gets it. I think she's great. She'd marry that girl.
That's a lot from one text exchange that you're taking. But you know what? Fine.
I need to lie down. Don't you?
All right. So coming up still this morning, we are going to do some more news. We'll tell you about this Return of Kings thing that you may have heard about, a guy organizing a pro-male
thing.
I don't even know how to tease it, but we'll talk about it. And Sean Poschel will be here to talk about the cultural arts draft and the very funny Christopher Titus, a comedian at the Improv who's done 77 comedy specials, will be on the phone with us this morning as well. A lot to do still.
Brilliant.
All right. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizards has a new song.
Cool.
Time is money.
The city of Laguna is thinking about itself. Can you hear the buzz? Can you sense the feeling? And the city has been doing various surveys to figure out what we're going to do in the future, especially specifically in the arts. And city arts manager Sean Poschel is here.
Good morning.
Hello. This is a serious topic, so I'm a bit nervous.
Jason doesn't know how to do serious.
It's very serious, Jason.
Well, it's serious. You know, we have been an art colony as a town for many a year, and there's a transition occurring.
There is. We've been working very diligently over the last couple of months on a new cultural arts plan. And we have our first draft, which is going to be presented to the Arts Commission and the Planning Commission and the public this evening. So we're very excited about it.
So it's a big deal. You had a team of consultants in from San Diego.
We did. We had the Cultural Arts Planning Group. And I know that you've met David and Victoria. You were part of the process where we've interviewed, or they have interviewed, many, many members of the community to find their aspirations for the future of the arts in Laguna.
Yeah. Tyler and I both went down for an interview with these guys, David and Victoria. And but anybody could have been involved with this. There was we did mention this many times on the air that there was a survey online that everybody could have sort of ownership of this thing and be part of the transition as sort of, you know, we move forward.
Yeah, and we had a couple of town hall meetings where we discussed everything from public art to retaining younger artists in our community, as well as aspirations for a cultural arts centre and a need. Was there a need for a cultural arts centre?
Yeah.
So all those things were set out as topics, and lots of people were able to participate and give their opinions, which was wonderful.
I feel like a lot of times people who are not activists in the city, who just kind of let issues pass them by, may see something like this come up and consider, oh, I don't have to be involved with that. That doesn't concern me. They'll do whatever they're going to do. And I felt that at times, you know, maybe about the tree ordinance, whatever. It doesn't really concern me. But this one, I think, affects every single resident in Laguna. It shapes our future as the kind of art colony we plan to be. And I think everybody, if you're kind of tuning out right now thinking, whatever, cultural arts plan, it's very important. And I think you should take an invested interest, as we have, in taking ownership of this thing and helping shape it.
Is it important, Sean Poschel, and why?
It's important because our growth as a community in the arts and where we direct our energies is important. But more than that, the arts are an economic driver within Laguna Beach. And as the Arts and Economic Prosperity Report found, you know, the nonprofit arts organizations in Laguna generate in a year $49.1 million in economic spending. And that shows how important the arts are and how important it is we take a very serious look at what our future is going to look like.
Right, that $49 million... may sound like a lot of money to you, or may not sound like a lot of money to you, but compared to other cities of our size, as I remember from reading the draft proposal, it's a lot of money.
It is.
Comparatively.
It is. And for the size of our city in the United States, of all the cities who participated, they actually had to take our figures out of the national figures because
really?
We skewed the numbers so much.
Wow, that's interesting.
So, you know, that is very, very impressive. So to have a healthy arts community is imperative for us all to be successful.
So there's a couple of things there. You know, we think of the art colony of Laguna Beach as kind of dying. I mean, artists can't afford to live here anymore. Certainly can't afford to move here. You know, there are artists that have been here a long time, and bully for them. But artists can't afford to move here. So the art colony thing seems to be dying. But on the other hand, there's a lot of money being generated by the arts still in this town.
And you know that there's four goals that have been identified within this draft. This is the first draft of the cultural arts plan. And that's one of the goals that's been identified, is how do we retain that reputation as an arts colony?
Yeah.
How do we ensure that artists still want to call Laguna Beach their home, that it's a creative center, it's somewhere where they can live, where they can work. And that's one of the goals and was identified as one of the most important aspects of the plan. And now we need to set, is that what what's the number one priority? Is that the number one priority that we work on year one? Or is it a priority we work on year five? And that's where these couple of meetings are happening this evening and are happening tomorrow at 11 o'clock in Conference Room A at City Hall. That's why they're important, because we need to set the priorities of what's the most urgent thing that we need to work on first.
All right, so when it comes to this topic that's been hammered out so many times about whether we should have find ways to have cheaper accommodation for artists and live workspaces and that kind of thing, and rezoning perhaps for certain parts of town, all that, the details of that are not yet been decided, but it's been decided that we need to do something about that. Is that?
Yeah, the David and Victoria have put a list of possibilities, and now we're going to go through them and see whether we want those to be in the plan. One of the topics that they have identified is grandfathering in existing non-approved live-work spaces where artists are already living, but they're suggesting that they're grandfathered in as one of the ways to address artists living and working. They've also put some examples of successful work-live projects in other cities and different non-profits that we could perhaps work with to achieve some of those projects in Laguna Beach.
In your mind, what defines an artist who might be able to use a space like that? Is it just sculpting, painting, or does it have a wider?
Absolutely not. We need to ensure that we have writers and filmmakers who we rarely hear from, that we need to hear more from. And we need to have a cross-section of cultural wealth. It can't just be overly visual artists. We need a cross section of musicians and writers to create a balanced cultural wealth within the city.
So I think that diversity of the types of artists that we want to welcome to Laguna is echoed in another one of the goals, another big goal, which is building this brick and mortar cultural arts center right where the village entrance was supposed to be. Basically across from Festival of the Arts. And I don't know what you call that parking lot.
Next to Art Affair.
Yeah, next to Art Affair. So that's supposed to be an all-encompassing, adjustable cultural arts center. Do you want to talk about what that proposal is?
Well, there's that. I think the community really needs to weigh in on this subject. Do we want a brick-and-mortar building? Or do you want a flexible space? Do you want a space that changes depending on the use? That could be a classroom, that could be a concert hall, that could be an exhibit space. It could take any shape, and it may not need to actually be brick and mortar, although it could be as well. So that is very exciting to think about, of what the uses would be. That isn't something that it could be built next year.
Of course.
It would need a feasibility study to understand what the uses would be. Also a business plan of how it could sustain itself. So it's at this point, is do you all as a community, whether you're living here or you're an active participant in the arts, do you want some sort of facility? And that's what the plan is asking right now.
I'm really interested to see what the community responds to that topic, because there was so much violent opposition to the village entrance.
Well, it was in the end, it was suggested it would be a parking lot, which nobody wanted, just another parking lot.
I don't know if people just don't want a construction project or if they didn't want that specifically.
Maybe, you know? But one of the ideas in the plan here is quite space-age technology. It's this Google building or something similar. Can you want to talk a little bit about that, what that thing is?
Well, it's about having a shell, and there's new technology of different metals and technology we don't even know about yet. So the plan is really setting out an imagination of we don't want to be limited by what we know and what our imagination is, but it's what the imagination of the future could be. Yeah. That's what we're really excited about.
Wow, that's very forward thinking and awake. it's fascinating, and it's really exciting that the city is thinking in these terms. Just because, as I say, you know, the study in and of itself actually acknowledges that the old days of us being an arts colony, like a self-perpetuating arts colony, is over. Now it needs regulating and organising, and money needs to be spent, you know, tax dollars need to be spent to keep this thing alive. My personal view is that, you know, you can go one of two ways. A town like Laguna, where property is so expensive to rent and to buy, you know, at this stage, there's two ways to go. We can either sustain ourselves as something interesting and different, and that means spending money on the arts, because that's what we're good at in this town and what makes us different and what makes people come to Laguna, apart from the beaches, obviously, and the good weather. Or we can just go the easy route and be another South Coast Plaza. I mean, you know, letting the designer clothing companies and all of that and the, you know, Wolfgang Pucks of this world.
Well, I think this plan shows that we don't want that.
That seems to be the case, doesn't it? And that's really it's really great.
And I think what will be vital to this cultural arts plan is participation, is that this isn't just a plan that sets out and the city goes forth and makes these things happen.
Yeah.
It requires the community participating to achieve their aspirations for the community. In the plan, there's a concept of having a group of peers who are successful being able to be like stewards of the future of the arts. And there's also a group, they've suggested establishing a group of young artists and where they would like to see the arts going in the future. And it's going to require a lot of people to participate to make it truly successful.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me. I've always talked about, I mean, I want Laguna to be a place where millennials, artist or not, wants to come to start their business or hone their craft. I want them to live and work here and not feel like they have to commute to this very expensive town, but have a way, an affordable way to work here and be successful. And right now, that's really hard for somebody who's just getting out of college.
No, it's impossible to come into this town and do that. But, you know, as Sean says, people are thinking about it. And there's no set idea going in. Like, this is really a question of what can we do? What's the future look like? Let's have some creative ideas. This is a new way of thinking for us. It's, you know, gone are the days of the sort of property prospectors of the 90s in this town just wanting to build more stuff or bring in corporations and cream the profit off the top, you know. So that's very heartening for somebody like me. And people that don't think the arts are important, you're just not thinking. Everywhere you look, there's the arts. Every time you go to a movie, there's art, you know, 100 artists worked on that movie.
Well, there's a good survey in this plan as well. Again, I should remind people, we're talking about the cultural arts plan draft. City arts manager Sean Poschel is in studio. There's a survey that shows the types of events and such that local residents attended outside of Laguna, and more than 50% of them went to a museum, went to an art talk, went to all sorts of things that they also are attending in town, but they're going out of town to satisfy their needs as well. So the question then becomes, all right, how do we keep them here to satisfy all their arts needs?
I wonder what they do. Like, I wonder what people like David and Victoria do, because I'm sure people lie about stuff like that to make themselves look good. How many museums have you been? I saw that. The average of 6 museums visited outside of town. Could that be true? I mean, you're a cultural arts manager, so you're obviously, you know, often museums all the time. How many museums have you been to this year?
I actually went to one last week.
Oh, I hate you.
I went to the Natural History Museum.
I've been to a few, but not, I mean, out, you know, when you go traveling outside of the country, you tend to do
well,
these
things.
Well,
that's probably what people mean.
Is that what they mean?
Yeah, sure.
I think people lie about stuff like that.
Okay. So what happens next, Sean? So this draft is done. It is a first draft. It will be discussed and then decided upon. What's the process now?
The process now is we're going to gather public input in the traditional way in the meetings, as I mentioned, tonight at 6 o'clock at the City Council chambers, or tomorrow at 11 in Conference Room A at City Hall. You can also, starting on Monday, be part of a forum on the city's website. If you don't want to go to a city hall meeting, completely understand.
They're a little long.
They can be. So you can you can give us your opinion from home on a forum, or just email me at art@lagunabeachcity.net, and I'll pass on the comments to the cultural planning group.
Excellent. And I'm a fan of them, Victoria and David, who prepared this, and they're really open and willing to hear whoever has a comment that feels like they can contribute to this. So I think it will continue to evolve, and I think it's everybody's goal to get something that's agreed upon, that doesn't have some sort of big opposing group to it, in my mind.
Yeah, it's huge. And it's such a relief to hear that we don't know, but we're going to look at it, and we'd like your input. That's so new.
Yeah, rather than new way. This is the way we think it should be. Do you agree or
Here's
not?
A group of people that want to build this thing, and we're opposed to it, and they're opposed to it because of that.
It's a different
it's going
way
to block
of doing
my view,
it.
And there's no parking. It's just, let's have a look, which is a great place to start.
Anything else we want to add on this?
Oh, no, except I love you, Sean Poschel.
Thank you so much, Jason.
There's a lot to talk about on this subject. When you weren't here, Jason, I somehow talked about it for like 15 minutes by myself. So I think we'll continue this conversation and delve into the 44 pages of the cultural arts plan draft. City Arts Manager Sean Poschel, thank you very much.
Thank you
for joining us this morning.
Yeah, really, thanks a lot.
And coming up, in a wild turn of events, we have a dark, brutal comedian calling into the show named Christopher Titus at 8:50.
That was great.
Great, great conversation.
Very good conversation. Brilliant to have the City Arts Manager in here. She is rocking Sean Poschel. In all the years I've known her, she cares so much about this town, and she's all business. That's what I like about her. It's not some airy-fairy sort of
I love all business. Thing. Don't give me small talk. I don't want to know how the weather is.
No.
Just let's do it.
And the thing is, you know, the arts, I love the arts. Of course I love the arts. I love music. I love blah, 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 blah. But if there wasn't a financial aspect to it, if it didn't fit into our economic plans for the future in this town, I'd shrug my shoulders and say, all right, whatever. It doesn't, you know, it's one of those things that costs money. Education costs money. Transportation costs money. But the arts in this town, $50 million a year.
Generates revenue, yeah, absolutely.
It's a fortune of money, and it's what we're all about. So what it says is that the old school people in this town, you know, the old Village Lagoon a lot and all that lot, they're not entirely wrong. The town has a certain atmosphere and a certain vibe, and that's worth money.
Yep.
And that's great.
It's a good conversation that will keep going. We only have a few minutes before we've got a phoner with Christopher Titus, the comedian, and then the Bad and the Ugly, the band out of San Diego, is going to be here after 9. But quickly, Jason, we've been teasing the story. Let's talk about it.
Yes, in a very clever juxtaposition, let's talk rape.
Keep it light, feds.
Yep.
All right.
A group touting, this is what they call it, neo-masculinity. It was organizing this weekend global meeting of its followers. I think global in the sense of like a computer, like it's within a certain number of inches rather than the entire planet, including two sessions in Orange County, cancelled their event following a torrent of criticism. The group Return of Kings, they're called. Was planning about 165 gatherings in 43 countries at 8 p.m. Saturday. The group's founder, an author who goes by the name of Roosh V, posted on his website, "I can no longer guarantee the safety or privacy of the men who want to attend." Why? Well, Roosh V last year had a blog, and it was called How to Stop Rape. In the essay, which appears to be meant sarcastically, I should emphasize that, he argues that if rape was legal on private property, then women wouldn't put themselves in compromising positions, such as drinking and engaging in one-night stands with men they just met.
He's justifying rape.
He's saying that if it was legal in your own home, women would be less likely to join you in your own home because they would know that there would be no consequences for the man. I hope it's satirical.
Well, nobody's taking it satirically.
Well,
people
no, but
are.
The story does say that it was meant that it's a sarcastic
but
essay.
But all the Facebook posts I've seen about this Return of Kings thing is warning women basically to stay inside on Saturday. It's fear that you will be sexually assaulted walking the streets of your home. I mean, that's the level of fear that people have for this thing on Saturday.
The cops are saying that they don't think there's going to be any trouble, but it's going to be all right. This may be racist.
Oh, God.
I mean, Roosh V sounds doesn't sound American, does he? It could be this whole thing of, you know, don't leave the house. It could be like cologne at New Year's Eve. There may be an element of that. On the other hand, those molestations did occur in Cologne. It's not entirely without foundation. And you know me, Ty, I wouldn't say it if, you know. So there's that side of it. There is, though, a history of this sort of satire, and it's totally questionable. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's totally questionable. But there is a history of it.
Yeah, I don't know how to justify this.
Is it? I mean, it's not brilliantly written, this thing. I just read it, and it's not brilliantly written. It's not swift.
It's just a douche guy, in my opinion, who's trying to make a statement in a really offensive and arrogant way, and it's backfiring on him.
Is it funny?
No. No, it's not. At all.
No.
But let's ask a real comedian.
All right.
We'll transition here in a moment from talking about serious things, as we've done a lot of today, and have Christopher Titus on the phone performing at the Improv this weekend. He's got 7 comedy specials. He's brutal. He's funny. He's dark. I'm excited to have him on. We'll play a song. We'll come back with him in a moment. All right?
Yep.
That's Killing Joke on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. And the morning show is excited to be joined now by the brutally funny 7 comedy specials under his belt and a new production for a movie special unit in about a month. Christopher Titus on the phone. Hello, sir.
Wow, man. What, we should just leave it at the introduction. That was great.
Are we done?
Yeah, that's
it. I think we're done. I think I want to go see me now.
Well, you can. You can see yourself tonight through Saturday at Irvine Improv, irvine.improv.com for tickets. Tell us about this new show, the Born with a Defect.
Born with a defect. I'm always honest on stage. I have to be honest. I was born with a defect. I was born a child, as we all were. It's just amazing. The show came out of the idea that human beings, how the hell did we get the keys to this planet? Every other animal is born with programming or instinct. Dolphin swims for its first breath. Deer walks in an hour. But a human child needs 2 adults around it for 5 years so it doesn't choke on a damn Cheerio. How are we running things? I mean, every other animal on the planet is instinctively afraid of fire. Human beings learn about fire by touching fire. I don't know how we did this. So it's all about that. It's about raising kids. If you have kids, this show is therapy. If you don't have kids, it's 90 minutes of birth control. So if you got that girl that says, I want to have kids, and you want to straighten her out, come to the show. Bring her. Let's go see Titus. And by the end of the show, be like, I don't ever want to have kids. They're horrible.
So yeah. How do you prove them wrong? How do you tell them not to have kids?
It's 90 minutes, man. There's everything from, I don't care whether you have kids or not. Everyone in the listening right now has walked into someone else's house who has kids and said this sentence. What is that smell? And I'm not talking about the baby smell, that talcum powder. I'm talking about once they hit the larva stage. Like, it's, and first what you think is, oh my God, it's one of the tiny pets that disappeared. Because when you have kids, pets don't die. It's more like a mob hit. It's like, yeah. Daddy, what happened to Mr. Pickles? Mr. Pickles got a job downstate. Don't ask any more questions, stupid cookie. And my kids, I tell a bunch of stories about my kids, but they're way too long to tell on this radio because you got to get back to the head-banging rock and roll. So,
That's what we do, Chris, head-banging rock and roll.
Yeah, right there you go. The voice is incredible. I like it.
No,
it's not a bad Russell Brand. Yeah, I like
you
that.
You know, it's amazing to me. And actually, I don't have any kids, but I do have a little dog called Mrs. Pickles. So I'm on the same page as you, mate. Think about Pickles.
I think that's an English requirement. One of your pets won't be named Pickles.
Got to be called Pickles, yeah. That's what. Yeah. It was part of the test when I came over here. Yeah. People that have got kids, though, they always want to tell you how great their kids are, and they want you to have kids as well. You notice that? They always want you to join the misery.
Yeah, it's like having herpes. If you get pissed because you got it, because you get it by a lie. You get kids by a lie, just like herpes. You go, your parents lie to you, and they say, oh, have kids. It's special. Your life's fulfilled. No, it's not. Between 1 and 18, a kid's going to cost you $300,000. Do you know what you can get for $300,000? A Lamborghini. A Lamborghini. Do you know what you can get with a Lamborghini? Anything you want. Yeah, but seriously, man, gentlemen, if you have a Lamborghini, who's sitting next to you? Way out of your league, chick. That's who's sitting next to you. She's got money. She's got class. She doesn't like you, but you have a Lamborghini. You're living the Lamborghini life. And you're roaming the streets, just going to nightclubs, spending money because you actually have money. And you're driving past parents in minivans with bald tires because Connor needs braces. And they're walking. watching you drive by like starving African children. That's what I'm saying about kids.
Hey, have your kids heard your comedy specials?
Yeah, there's a story I tell. They haven't. Love is Evil is about their mom, and there's some real evil stuff in it about their mom that's true. So I'm going to wait. My daughter's 14 now, which is great. 14. She's going through the change, which is so fun for a father. Hi, Daddy. It's like, honey, I know what this is. You're very pretty, and here are some M&M's. So, I tell a bunch of stories in this show, and I kind of told my kids what I was telling. There's a story near the end of the show I close with it about my daughter got the cops called on me. And so I tell that story. There's a story. It's weird, man. It's like for my life, it's been I have an 11-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl. So my house is a dueling piano bar of odor right now. but they are just. I mean, my son is 11, which means he's Olympic level dumb. This kid, it's not his fault. It's just 11-year-old boys. For a while, I thought he was on the spectrum. I really did. And then a bunch of his friends came over. And I was like, oh, thank God, they're all idiots. He's just normal stupid. It's just constant work, man. So anyway, the show's really funny. Actually, it just dropped into – it takes me – like I did my last special aired on Comedy Central in May. It takes me about – it's about a bit 10 months now. It's just starting to get – I got 4 out of 5 standing ovations. And here's how sick I am last week in Houston. How sick I am is – oh, wow, why didn't I get that last one? So it's doing really well.
Well, comics are notoriously sort of self-centered and self-deprecating. What's fascinating, though, about you is that most comics will say that everything's fair game until you mention their own family.
Yeah, there's a bit about my aunt. My aunt is 63. My mom was mentally ill. My mom used to hear voices. My aunt also hears voices, but she calls them her guides. And oh, her guides... their guides predict the future, but I think they're pranksters and have been punking her for about 30 years because nothing she's ever predicted has come true. One day she came over to our house about 5 years ago and she goes, my guides told me I'm going to die in August. And I was like, well, TikTok.
Still here.
Yeah, exactly. Here's who my aunt is. She's on welfare and she's on disability because I ain't paying Obama's damn taxes, but she's willing to live off of ours.
Right.
And so I said to her, I said, hey, so why don't you work under the table at a bakery? You're a great cook. She goes, ah, I can't if I stand too long, my back hurts. I said, oh, I got a buddy who works at Hulu. You can do tech support in the morning. She goes, ah, if I sit too long, my back hurts. And I was like, well, that leaves Hooker. and at 63, you're not really a first-round draft pick. So I'm a little concerned that when that special hits, my aunt's gonna. She lives in Florida now, which is fine. She's far enough away, but yeah, I've gone after my family to the point where I've shown up at family reunions and no one will really talk to me. It's really like surface level. Hi, Chris. How are you doing? What are you guys up to? Nothing. We've done nothing at all. Nothing has happened in our lives. Because they know it's gonna end up in the show.
Christopher Titus on the phone. You can see him this weekend at Irvine Improv, irvine.improv.com. You can tell how great this show's going to be. Tell us about the movie that you're filming.
I've been trying for 10 years. We did a pilot years ago for Comedy Central called Special Unit. And here's the premise. Due to the Fairness and Disabilities Act, the LAPD has to hire 4 handicapped undercover detectives. And I play Nick Nolte's mugshot. I play the worst cop in L.A. And so my own company, I shot my last comedy special. My company did my last comedy, 2 comedy specials. And then... so we're doing this movie. It's our first movie, and it's low budget, but I think we got Billy Gardell's going to be in it with me, and I think. Don't go with me on that yet. We talked to him yesterday, but things are going well. It's really funny. It's wrong funny, but I got a lot of friends that are disabled comics and stuff, and although Hollywood talks a good game, they're like, we love the disabled. They're so special. Let's have a fundraiser, but they won't put them in movies. So basically, we're going to probably put... I mean, between some of the interview scenes, we're going to do maybe 30 disabled actors in this movie because they get it. They're funny as hell, and we're not treating them with kid gloves. It's not a Hallmark movie at all.
Yeah,
I'm glad that you've never succumbed to what's supposed to be politically correct in this country because that's a real problem in comedy these days, and it seems like you just ignore all of that.
I don't have it. I was raised by a guy who got divorced 6 times. My mom was in and out of mental institutions. When I was a kid, I was 6 years old. My dad took me to see a Dirty Harry Clint Eastwood movie called Magnum Force, and I was wearing feety pajamas, man. And so I grew up in this weird world of everything was just came at you 100 miles an hour. I was water skiing at 4. My dad just put no life jacket, threw you in. There you go. Yeah, that's how I got taught to swim.
Wow.
So I don't have any fear. Sometimes I am actually. When someone will say, that's offensive, and I'm always shocked. Like, well, really? Is there any rules in comedy? Let me show you some George Carlin specials from, like, 12 years ago. You know, and I think that I think anybody who's piece. The other thing is too that we've got. I'm not dirty either. We don't do. There's so many comics that are just so dirty for no reason, and that kind of gets on my nerves too. It's like, look, if Red Fox did it in 1961, maybe you should move on to something new.
Yeah, man, I think it's great, dude. Well, Christopher Titus, you can see him at Irvine Improv this week and again through Saturday. Thank you very much for your time this morning. You're so great. Thank you.
Guys, thanks for laughing when you're supposed to. Let's get back to the headbanging rock and roll.
We're glad you like it. Catch you soon. Bye. All right, excited to feature some chill live music for you in studio now. We've got Nate Hess from the project Bad and the Ugly out of San Diego, who drove up just to play for you this morning. Nate, I'll let you take it away, starting with Can't Shake the Days. Then we'll come back and talk some Bad and the Ugly live on KX93.5. Nate Hess of the Bad and the Ugly on KX93.5. Absolutely gorgeous, man.
Thanks so much.
That was great.
Really appreciate it.
We're going to hear another song from you in a second, but I know Jason wants to say what a great sounding acoustic guitar you have. Right? I mean, it is.
It does sound brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a nice old Martin.
Oh, it's my Martin. I love this thing, man. It's my
beautiful
baby.
There are three women out in the office who just fell in love with you.
Oh, oh, I'm flattered. I'm very flattered.
It's a mixture of the long blonde hair and the singer-songwriter.
And it's the meandering singer-songwritery stream of consciousness thing that we love very much here. So
that's so cool. Yeah, I wish I was a little more awake today. I'm just so
morning. It's cold winter. You know morning vocals. Music.
And I should say, it's not just a thing. It has to be done well, and you do it so well. Thank you for coming in.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
So The Bad and the Ugly is basically your project.
Yeah.
There's a band that you play with when you do live shows. Mm-hmm. In fact, you've got one coming up in Oceanside.
Yeah.
At the Poorhouse.
Yeah.
P-O-U-R.
P-O-U-R this time. Yeah. It's I'll just be performing solo there just on the 18th of February. But we just played at the Soda Bar in San Diego with the whole band, and it was awesome.
Yeah. I
mean, it was packed house, and it was just a rad time.
How does that very acoustic singer-songwriter thing translate with a full band?
It's really cool. I plug in, and I got the band behind me, and it's a little bit of rock, and it's also a little bit of folk, too, at the same time. So yeah. I don't know. It's just we don't want to lose the acoustic, but our music is starting to get a lot more louder, I've noticed.
Okay. Yeah, and you're okay with that?
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
Cool.
I actually came from a hardcore band. I was doing that for about 4 years or actually I think about like 5-6 years, and we started when we were really young. We got signed and did like Warped Tour, did that kind of circuit.
Cool. Like a screamo kind of vibe?
Yeah. Yeah, I was singing and playing drums in that band.
Wow.
Just destroying my body every night. So just thrashing
around. Your vocal cords, probably.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't this whispery, as you can imagine. It was more belting out the singing. Yeah, but you know, I did that. I learned so much. We booked tours through MySpace and just did it all on our own.
What was the name of that band?
It was A Shattered Hope.
Okay.
Yeah, from San Diego.
Wow, man.
Yeah, man.
So you took a 180 completely.
Yeah, 180 from that kind of that lifestyle to this, and I like it. It's a lot more just relaxing, and I don't know. It gets a little hectic when you're just loading drums all the time, and you're
that's a good reason not to play drums.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah, exactly. Going from loading just like a 10, piece thing to my guitar and my backpack. That's great.
Yeah, no, totally.
I'll take it.
Now, what's the makeup of the band now? You got a lead guitarist and a drummer.
Yeah.
What else is in the band? Is this just three of you?
And then we have a bass player. We just got a new bass player. So
yeah.
We were a five-piece, but our other guitar player just moved to Portland. So so right now we're doing a four-piece. But right. Yeah, we're just we really enjoy the just the band that we have right now. But yeah,
How is it working with a drummer? Because if you were a drummer in a band before,
yeah.
Now you've got a drummer.
Yeah,
well, in this band.
It's pretty cool. Like I said, I write these songs, so I play drums. So I played all the drums on the record on Slept in the Pages, the new EP, and on the first one too, Skin and Bones. And I did, and I play guitar and everything. So I actually, it's pretty cool. I kind of just show him what I feel, the percussion should be, but at the same time, it's not like I have to have it my way at all. Everybody in the band can bring their own thing. These are the songs that I write or whatever, but I want everybody to play whatever they want. So when you see us live, it's not necessarily going to sound like the record, but it's going to be a new take on it. But it's
so there's a little more of a jammy quality to
it. Yeah, a lot more louder. And
yeah,
it's cool.
Are the stories behind the songs really personal to you, though?
Yeah, this was a... it's been a very... crazy time transitioning from that whole lifestyle when I'm young playing punk thrash music to singer songwriter stuff and also fronting a band. I mean, I thought it would be easy to just all of a sudden become a front man when it's not that easy. When you're a drummer and a singer, you're kind of like in there because you have a vocal deal, but at the same time I had a front man and A Shattered Hope, so I wasn't out there with my face and everybody's faces. And next thing you know, I'm on stage and I got to walk on stage and I get a little shy sometimes, I mean, but it's a matter of just doing it, getting up and doing it. And
yeah.
And every day is just a blessing to be doing this.
Do you get scared? Like, when you walk out as a singer, like with a guitar, do you ever think I'm going to fall over?
Yeah, I do. Especially because I'm skinny and I'm like lanky.
It's windy out.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I actually feel that sometimes. And if I haven't eaten, it's just like
it's
my blood sugar.
Very common. Do you know that? Seriously.
Oh, yeah, seriously.
I know that feeling.
Oh, it'll happen. So you guys can get ready for that. There'll be a video of me falling down on stage at some point.
Well, then you'll be a lot more famous than you are now if it actually happens.
If I break an arm or something, that'll probably, help me out.
Nate has ratings. From the project The Bad and the Ugly out of San Diego is here. He mentioned the new EP, which is called Slept in the Pages. You can listen to it on Spotify or download it, and better yet, buy it from the guy and support your local music. Bad and the Ugly CA on Twitter or Bad and the Ugly on Instagram. Would you kindly do another song for us, please?
Absolutely.
What's this next one?
This one is the closing song on the newest EP, Slept in the Pages. It's called My Empty Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, man.
Brilliant.
Thanks so much,
Nate Hess on KX 93.5.
Thank you, guys.
Breaking all the rules of modern rock and roll music in every way.
You just sink into it. I mean, you do, and the audience does, and it's just made to be sunk into.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope everybody's not asleep now.
No. It's what's fascinating as well is, you know, people without a musical ear will sink into this like a mattress. But I'm listening to this stuff, and you are... There's some weird stuff going on there, time signature wise, and bonkers minor to major.
See, I have no idea.
And I mean, I don't want to focus on that because the point is just to relax and drift into it. But there's a complex base to this.
So, Bad and the Ugly is the group out of San Diego. Again, Nate's in the studio. I want to do something if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
I looked up A Shattered Hope.
Yeah.
Can I play just a little bit of a song?
That's up to you. I mean, it's loud, but
I want to contrast who you are now and who you were then.
For sure.
Are there any cuss words in A Man's Loss?
There is one in the beginning.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm going to go to the middle then.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm glad I asked. All right. So,
here we go.
Your hair's a different color.
It is, yeah. I had black hair for about, I think, like 6-7 years almost. I was young.
Look at that!
That's great. That's great.
It would sound like that, and that's why I wanted to do that. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, there comes a point when you physically can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Right? Oh, I miss it. I do miss it. I want to play, I got to start playing drums again for sure. That's what I've totally missed. Now, I'm neglecting my percussion background.
Well, you're very sweaty in that video.
Yeah,
and
very.
And right now you're not covered in perspiration. So I imagine that's a pleasant difference.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
No, listeners can't hear you, but can't see you, but when you're playing, it's very percussive what you're doing, even though it's mellow.
Yeah.
So you're grooving and your shoulders are moving and, you know.
Yeah, you can kind of hear the drummer in me, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, well, now you've told me. When you first walked in here, I thought, this guy's a genius. And then you said, I'm a drummer. I went, oh, right, that makes sense.
Well, again, you can see The Bad and the Ugly at the Poorhouse in San Diego. Is it the 18th of this month?
Actually, Oceanside, and that'll be 18th.
Oceanside, yeah. Well, it's all one county.
Yeah, same kind of deal.
It's all the same to us.
Down that way. And then you can download the new EP. Where would you like people to go to do that?
iTunes. Cool. Yeah, it's streaming for free on Spotify. But yeah, iTunes. We get paid, so that's great.
All right, good. Well, Nate, thanks for making the drive up this morning, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Really great.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, keep us in the loop. Let us know when new music comes out.
Great. Thank you so much. All right.